Welcome to Ad Bible, an audio daily devotion from the Ezra Project. We join Alan J. Huth as he shares Bible passages and comments from over 30 years of his personal Bible reading journals.
Today we are in 1 Chronicles chapters 9 and 10. Chapter 9 is the last chapter of genealogies. We will listen to the 44 verses of that chapter as read by Faith Comes by Hearing. But chapter 10, we'll get introduced finally to our guest reader. I guess we can all understand why he didn't read the first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles. Senator Kevin Grantham will read chapter 10 of 1 Chronicles. So let's get started with the last genealogy chapter in 1 Chronicles from Faith Comes by Hearing.
1 Chronicles 9. So all Israel was recorded in genealogies. And these are written in the book of the kings of Israel. And Judah was taken into exile in Babylon because of their breach of faith. Now the first to dwell again in their possessions in their cities were Israel, the priests, the Levites, and the temple servants.
And some of the people of Judah, Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh lived in Jerusalem. Uthai, the son of Ammihud, son of Omri, son of Imri, son of Bani, from the sons of Perez, the son of Judah, and of the Shilonites, Azaiah the firstborn and his sons, of the sons of Zerah, Jeuel and their kinsmen, 690, of the Benjaminites, Salu, the son of Meshulam, son of Hodaviah, son of Hasanuah, Ibniah, the son of Jeroham, Elah, the son of Azai, son of Mikrai, and Meshulam, the son of Shephatiah, son of Ruel, son of Ibnijah, and their kinsmen according to their generations, 956. All these were heads of fathers' houses according to their fathers' houses. Of the priests, Jedaiah, Jehoiarib, Jachin, and Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, son of Meshulam, son of Zadok, son of Merayath, son of Ahitub, the chief officer of the house of God. And Adaiah, the son of Jeroham, son of Pashur, son of Malchijah, and Maasai, the son of Adiel, son of Jazara, son of Meshulam, son of Meshilameth, son of Immer, besides their kinsmen, heads of their fathers' houses, 1,760, mighty men for the work of the service of the house of God. Of the Levites, Shemaiah, the son of Hashab, son of Azricam, son of Hashabiah, of the sons of Merari, and Bekbaker, Hirish, Galel, and Mattaniah, the son of Micah, son of Zichri, son of Asaph, and Obadiah, the son of Shemaiah, son of Galel, son of Jeduthun, and Berechiah, the son of Asa, son of Elkanah, who lived in the villages of the Netophathites.
The gatekeepers were Shallum, Akkub, Talmon, Ahiman, and their kinsmen. Shallum was the chief. Until then, they were in the king's gate on the east side as the gatekeepers of the camps of the Levites. Shallum, the son of Kori, son of Abiasaph, son of Korah, and his kinsmen of his father's house, the Korahites, were in charge of the work of the service, keepers of the thresholds of the tent, as their fathers had been in charge of the camp of the Lord, keepers of the entrance. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, was the chief officer over them in time past. The Lord was with him. Zechariah, the son of Meshelemiah, was gatekeeper at the entrance of the tent of meeting. All these, who were chosen as gatekeepers at the thresholds, were 212. They were enrolled by genealogies in their villages. David and Samuel, the seer, established them in their office of trust. So they and their sons were in charge of the gates of the house of the Lord, that is, the house of the tent, as guards. The gatekeepers were on the four sides, east, west, north, and south. And their kinsmen who were in their villages were obligated to come in every 7 days in turn to be with these. For the four chief gatekeepers, who were Levites, were entrusted to be over the chambers and the treasures of the house of God. And they lodged around the house of God, for on them lay the duty of watching, and they had charge of opening it every morning. Some of them had charge of the utensils of service, for they were required to count them when they were brought in and taken out. Others of them were appointed over the furniture and over all the holy utensils, also over the fine flour, the wine, the oil, the incense, and the spices. Others of the sons of the priests prepared the mixing of the spices. And Mattathiah, one of the Levites, the firstborn of Shallum the Korahite, was entrusted with making the flat cakes. Also, some of their kinsmen of the Kohathites had charge of the showbread to prepare it every Sabbath. Now these, the singers, the heads of fathers' houses of the Levites, were in the chambers of the temple, free from other service, for they were on duty day and night. These were heads of fathers' houses of the Levites, according to their generations, leaders. These lived in Jerusalem.
In Gibeon lived the father of Gibeon, Jeiel, and the name of his wife was Maacah, and his firstborn son, Abdon, then Zur, Kish, Baal, Ner, Nadab, Gedor, Ahio, Zechariah, and Mikloth. And Mikloth was the father of Shimeon, and these also lived opposite their kinsmen in Jerusalem with their kinsmen. Ner fathered Kish, Kish fathered Saul, Saul fathered Jonathan, Malchishua, Abinadab, and Eshbaal. And the son of Jonathan was Mirabeal, and Mirabeal fathered Micah. The sons of Micah, Pithon, Melech, Tariah, and Ahaz. And Ahaz fathered Jerah, and Jerah fathered Alameth, Asmaveth, and Zimri. And Zimri fathered Moza. Moza fathered Benaiah, and Rephaiah was his son, Eleasa his son, Azel his son. Azel had six sons, and these are their names: Azricam, Bokeru, Ishmael, Sheariah, Obadiah, and Hanan. These were the sons of Azel.
1 Chronicles 10. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled before the Philistines and fell slain on Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines overtook Saul and his sons, and the Philistines struck down Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, the sons of Saul. The battle pressed hard against Saul, and the archers found him, and he was wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor-bearer, "Draw your sword and thrust me through with it, lest these uncircumcised come and mistreat me." But his armor-bearer would not, for he feared greatly. Therefore Saul took his own sword and fell upon it. And when his armor-bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell upon his sword and died. Thus Saul died. He and his three sons and all his house died together. And when all the men of Israel who were in the valley saw that the army had fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they abandoned their cities and fled. And the Philistines came and lived in them. The next day, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, they found Saul and his sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. And they stripped him, and took his head and his armor, and sent messengers throughout the land of the Philistines to carry the good news to their idols and to the people. And they put his armor in the temple of their gods, and fastened his head in the temple of Dagon. But when all Jabesh-Gilead heard all that the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and took away the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons, and brought them to Jabesh. And they buried their bones under the oak in Jabesh, and fasted 7 days. So Saul died for his breach of faith. He broke faith with the Lord in that he did not keep the command of the Lord, and also consulted a medium, seeking guidance. He did not seek guidance from the Lord. Therefore, the Lord put him to death and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse.
In 2009, I read 1 Chronicles 8 through 10 on the same day. I wrote in my personal Bible reading journal a second record of Saul, his death, and David's rise to power. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, was ruler over them previously, and the Lord was with him. We need godly leaders, and I need the Lord with me at all times. I started with my journal in 2009 because I wanted to go back to my journal in 1997. I have a very interesting entry in this journal, and I debated whether I would share it or not, but I've decided to share it with you. It's not necessarily about this passage, but it is about life. I was 41 years old at the time. I had read 1 Chronicles 8 through 13 the day before, and on this day, I was reading 1 Chronicles 14 through 16. Again, what I wrote doesn't necessarily have anything to do with these chapters, but let me read. It's Memorial Day weekend. Terry is still on her way home. Shannon is in Alamosa, that's my daughter. Ryan is around, but he does his thing and I do mine, that's my son. I've been completely alone. Stayed home Friday night. Saturday, worked in the yard all day. Stayed home Saturday evening. I have no friends. I miss my brother and his wife a lot. We did things together and talked a lot. I haven't even talked to anyone. Lord, help me figure out this life. I'm 41, and I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not happy, and I don't know why. What would make me happy, Lord? Self-examination is killing me, too. Can I be happy just doing what I'm doing, be good at it, and stop living in my mind somewhere else? I take life way too serious. I think I should be accomplishing some great purpose, so I'm always striving and searching for tomorrow and not living in today. I put too much pressure on myself and others to perform or accomplish at levels I don't even understand. Can I be satisfied today? Can I say, I'm good at what I do? Husband, father, Christian, vice president of my company, Gideon, friend. Give myself positive affirmations. I'm healthy, in good shape, caring, loving, committed, peaceful, warm, successful, happy, in touch with God. Another issue I think I need to get over is I feel I don't deserve good things in my life. I feel guilty when good things happen to me or for me, like getting to go to Hawaii. I think I don't deserve it. Nice car. Don't measure up. I fear success. Who am I? Can I get over this hurdle in my life? It's weird. I used to think a lot more of myself than I do now. I can't or I'm not is a bigger part of my vocabulary than it used to be. Can I decide to be happy or act happy and by doing so become generally happy? Can I accept that being happy is okay? Enjoying life can be okay without guilt? That was the end of that long passage that I wanted to share. Though I read 1 Chronicles 14 through 16, and I'll cover that in later podcasts, I did write, God's word is good, it's timely, and meaningful. I don't know if you've ever struggled with those kind of thoughts in your life. I guess I just share that to share, one, some things that I put in my journal. Two, the journey of life is not always easy. I've been a Christian since I was 15. On that Memorial Day weekend, I was a little bit down. Again, that was 1997, 41 years old. Over 20 years later, as I record this podcast, I think I've probably overcome a lot of those emotions, not all, but most of them. So if you feel the same way that I did when I was 41, you too will overcome those emotions. How? God's word is good. Our application from this story and these chapters today may be just stay close to God's word, even in the genealogies. God's word is good. It pierces between our soul and our spirit, between the thoughts and intents of the heart, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. So let the word of God minister to you today if you're feeling some of those emotions. Father, I thank you that in that long list of emotions, I did write that I was a Christian and that I was in touch with God. I pray that for anyone that may be a little bit down today, that you too would have some of those positive affirmations that you are a Christian and that you're in touch with God. He loves you, He cares for you, and He'll help you get through the struggle you're in. Stay close to the Lord. God's word is good. Stay in God's word. Amen.